When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
The sun is out. It's really nice. It feels like summer, doesn't it, Deborah?
Woohoo!
Martin?
Yes.
And that's about all the good news we're going to have on today's show.
Well, tomorrow is the first day of summer. That's good news.
That's probably why it felt like that today. But it really just felt like Southern California again. And because I live at the beach, it's been worse than most other places. So much cloud cover. But sun was out. It's out right now. And it feels really good. And because we're pretty much in summer, there's no John Cobalt for the week. This is the time he takes off. I think yesterday was his birthday, right?
Yes, it was. Yes. Yeah.
Juneteenth. He's very happy now. It's a federal holiday, but he's gone for the week. Deborah Mark's hanging out to give you the news updates. Big stories, of course, include that submersible. Don't call it a submarine. It's a submersible. Anyway, it's like the size of a large van. And anyway, five people went to try to look at the wreck of the Titanic in the Atlantic Ocean. And, they lost track of them. So it's not clear where they are and whether or not they're still alive, and they're going to run out of oxygen. And we'll keep an eye on that story. We'll have an update for you later on in the show with a full detailed news report. Later on this hour, the criminal justice system strikes again. And this time it's not Los Angeles County, and we can't blame George Gascon. It's jurors in Ventura County who let a murderer walk free from a murder he committed in 2019. It's almost hard to believe. We're going to talk to the daughter-in-law of one of the victims after the news at 1:30 to get her horrified and shocked accounting of this terrible case of misjustice up in Ventura County. But we start the show almost where we ended it on Friday. Right before the second round of the Moist Line, we did throw a hack in the dumpster. It is the disgraced, but still officially Los Angeles City Council member, Curran Price. He is the fourth Los Angeles City Council member in just the last few years to be charged with corruption. Isn't that nice? In this case, embezzlement, perjury, conflict of interest, all that good stuff. So they made a move today on the Los Angeles City Council concerning Curran Price. Let's bring on Blake Trolley, KFI News, for the report on this. Blake?
Yeah, Ken, so before we get into this, I just want to say I had a joke fall completely flat on its face with Gary and Shannon. I told him, hey, while you guys were gone, an LA City councilman was charged in a pay-to-play scheme, so you didn't miss any major news. And
they didn't get it?
It didn't go well.
Wow, it didn't
it
go well.
It thudded.
I'd give it a half. It's a half-good joke. Not bad, since it happens so often.
This is why I don't host.
That's right. Yeah, stick to collecting the news. Here's my first question. He's still getting paid, right?
he's still getting paid. And you know what, Ken, even if he's suspended, I highly doubt we're going to see a pay suspension like we saw with Ridley Thomas. As you remember, the LA City Controller suspended Ridley Thomas's pay, but the LA City Council voted to reinstate it. This was after a lawsuit, after a challenge of that. So in the case of Councilman Curran Price, if he's suspended, I wouldn't think that his paycheck is going to be suspended. I don't think this is a legal issue the LA City Council is going to want to take up again. So if he is replaced, if they put in a voting council member or a caretaker,
yeah, but I remember the argument. Hold on, but the arguments in the Mark Ridley Thomas thing was that he was charged when he was on the Board of Supervisors with those crimes, not on the City Council. I thought that was part of their argument to try to keep his pay.
Sure, but I think the other part of the argument was innocent until proven guilty, and that he hasn't actually been convicted of these crimes. He's just been charged of these crimes. And until there's a conviction, the pay will remain. And that was
what did they do with Jose Huizar? Do you remember? I thought they knocked him off of that pay. But
that precedes my time. I watched Ridley Thomas, as you remember. I showed back up to L.A. in 2021.
I was going to say, yeah, you haven't been here long enough to have all of these guys we've been following that have been charged with crimes.
Well, anyways, Ken, the LA City Council today did vote to appoint Councilman Marquise Harris Dawson to replace Councilman Curran Price as president pro tem, 12-0 this past. But it was off to an awkward start. It appears the council actually had to take a vocal vote. So the council votes Harris Dawson in. He's congratulated, starts helping run the meeting. Shortly into his new post, the council realizes it made a mistake. Here's Council President Paul Krikorian trying to navigate through the awkwardness.
That takes us to item number 39.
Yes, sir. And real quick,
we'll hold for a minute. Mr. Krikorian.
Mr. President, I hate to do this to you, but I'd like to ask that we reconsider item 50 for purposes of taking a voice vote. So if I could ask first that the item be reconsidered, and then if once it's reconsidered, we will need to take a voice roll call vote.
All right.
Hate to do this to you. But
all right. Deep into the pool. I'll take it. All right. So.
Uh-oh. More confusion.
You'll need to take your seat, and I'll need to take that back.
So they voted him in again, and now it is official. But he didn't really give much of didn't really give any speech. This is Marquise Harris Dawson. And, you know, Ken, one thing that I've noticed with the councilman, Curran Price, the whole situation around Price, this alleged pay-to-play scheme, is that, you know, you say disgrace councilman. That depends on who you ask. So far, we have not heard much of any speech out of council members on this. They've been notably quiet. The day after he was charged, Council President Paul Krikorian came out and took an extremely soft stance. Here he is last week.
Saddened and concerned about the impact that news may have on this institution. I'm saddened and concerned about the impact that this news may have on the people of the 9th District. And I'm also saddened and concerned about the impact that I know this will have on my friend and colleague, Curran Price. I think it's important that we say right at the outset of all of this that the presumption of innocence is not just a handy catchphrase. It is a bedrock principle of the United States of America and our Constitution, and it will be a bedrock principle of how we proceed going forward as a council as well in light of this news.
So, Ken, I'm told next week is the earliest a vote could be held to possibly suspend Curran Price. It's in committee right now. They don't want to rush the decision, they're saying, because they learned with the Ridley Thomas situation that there are a lot of effects to just pulling somebody from their council seat. That said, we hear that soft rhetoric there from Council President Krikorian. We haven't seen anybody get on the floor and denounce Councilman Price. So what I'm wondering now is if we're going to see a battle or some sort of support, at least for Price, when it comes time to possibly suspend him.
Yeah, I mean, he even admitted, I'm going to give up all of my duties on the city council because I don't want to be a distraction. But he's not going to resign, and they're not going to suspend him yet. But you said even if they suspend him, he's going to still get paid.
Yeah, I don't think that's a road that they're going to want to go down. I think they're going to wait for a conviction in the last situation.
Right?
Yeah, they're going to have to wait for an actual conviction. So that, you know, that's costly to the city. I mean, if you appoint another voting city council member, that's something being discussed. That's going to cost money. A caretaker presumably will cost some money to the city. So, yeah, you end up with a position you got to pay for twice when you get into these situations.
All right. Thank you very much, Blake. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Blake Trolley, KFI News, covering the current price situation. And it doesn't go without noting that he's replaced, and it's kind of a symbolic president pro tem of the council, by another black member of the council, right? Marquise Harris-Dawson. And you heard Paul Krikorian there sort of dancing around the fact and the charges against current price. This is just another corrupt politician. Doesn't matter whether they're white, black, or Latino. And we've had all the races involved in the last several years with the corruption of four city council members. But because things are very sensitive concerning the black community these days, and then they feel that they've lost a veteran who's a big leader for the community, everybody has to dance around this and be very careful with how they talk about this. But, you know, the charges are clear. And the fact should not be understated that it comes from the LA County District Attorney, George Gascon, who really wanted to do nothing but prosecute police officers coming into office and forget about criminals and forget about victims, police officers. For him to go after a black Los Angeles city councilman, where he is very sensitive to these things, is pretty extraordinary and tells you it must be a pretty strong case against current price. All right, I got more coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys. You know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at VisitCalifornia.com.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
And a reminder, it's already Tuesday, so the Moist Line, we got to collect your messages for Friday. It's going to come quick because yesterday was a big holiday. You can leave a message using the iHeartRadio app. The microphone icon is a way to connect And last Friday, there were a lot of messages that came to us that way. Not a more weird, but a lot of attacks on Deborah Mark, I noticed, too, came to
the
iHeartRadio.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
People are going high-tech to attack you and your vegan life. Mm-hmm. Anyway, or you can call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886, and we'll play those calls Friday during the 3 o'clock hour. We were just talking about the charges that L.A. City Council member Curran Price, and he is still officially a member, and even if they've suspended him, they're probably still going to pay him. But we will be talking about Hunter Biden. Joe Biden's son is pretty much skating. We'll have Royal Oaks from ABC News on to give us the details, but it's a plea agreement. You may have heard about it. Failing to pay federal income taxes and illegally possessing a gun. This was a long, long investigation. It involved a grand jury. It seemed to go on forever. Anyway, he was not supposed to have a gun because he's a druggie. And, of course, the tax offenses, well, we'll find out more. I mean, misdemeanor. How much of this was the bribe money that the Bidens got from leaders all over the world using the influence of Joe Biden as vice president for Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's brother to make some sort of business deals with all sorts of companies and governments around the world? So we'll talk about that later, but there's a lot of outrage over that story. Both Biden and Ron DeSantis came to California yesterday to raise money. That's pretty much all it's about. They went to the Simi Valley area to tap the big tech vault and try to grab money from the very wealthy Californians who, well, they continue to hold up the state as far as tax collections are concerned, although I'll be talking about that later. California, of course, has a major budget deficit, and I'm wondering how much of it is from some of the wealthy people leaving the state of California that the money coming in is dropping off. It's also an effect of the stock markets. We're going to talk about Gavin Newsom. First, we're going to play a brand new ad from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Even though Biden's supposed to face, if you believe the polls, Trump, the undercard, if you want to call it that, appears to be the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis against California Governor Gavin Newsom, which is kind of actually important. I'm reading columnists saying this would be a better matchup because it would really be the case of, do you want the United States to become more like Florida or more like California in the way it's governed as far as taxes and regulations and all that? And I don't think that Florida is my favorite place in the United States, but certainly when we come to the way things are run by the government, things seem to be a lot better there, and it's proven by people moving there. So here is the 1 minute or so war room ad from Ron DeSantis.
California's population has dropped by more than a half million people.
Where has the population gone?
The American people as a whole have voted with their feet. And you compare Florida versus California.
Governor Gavin Newsom admits the state has not made progress on the homeless crisis.
Rising crime in San Francisco.
Needles and feces outside.
These children are witnessing drug use, violence, sex acts, public defecation, and urination on a daily basis.
We have had a great experiment in governing philosophies.
I see what everybody's seeing, asking myself, what the hell is going on? I mean, look like a third world country.
We've witnessed a great American exodus from states governed by leftist politicians.
California exodus certainly continues.
Businesses are leaving the state at a faster pace.
Florida is the fastest growing state in the nation.
Florida's unemployment numbers are historically low.
Crime in Sunshine State dropped to a 50-year low.
This is a result of better governance in states like Florida. It is a result of poor governance in these left-wing states. That's why people are moving.
Now, it's not really clear to me why Ron DeSantis has to run an ad against Newsom, because Newsom's not running for president. Nobody's really sure what Newsom is doing, except he's trying to raise his profile. I think he's been told through the back channels to get ready for the possibility that Joe Biden doesn't end up becoming the nominee in 2024, either for reasons that of his health or he's just decided that his brain has slowed down too much and he doesn't want to run. Newsom's one of the backup plans. And because Newsom has so much money and he just got reelected and it didn't cost him much to get reelected, he's decided to spend it on a campaign to raise his profile. Also, you probably noticed last week that his wife, Jennifer Newsom, made news being interviewed by the Los Angeles Times about her life seeking gender justice and making those dopey documentary films that schools are forced to play for students. So Newsom appeared last week, and he's been really making the rounds. He was on with Sean Hannity, and that's something a lot of Democrats wouldn't do. So people are like taking note of that. Wow, look at him. He's brave. He went right in there, and he challenged on Fox News a host like Sean Hannity, who's basically Trump's buddy. So there's some things he said, and I think it was rebutted nicely by a column in the New York Post by Douglas Murray. One of the first things Newsom boasted about when he was on with Sean Hannity was that California is the leader in business growth and new businesses and startups and such. Well, one of the things that has to be pointed out is that California has a far bigger population and simply far more companies to begin with than Florida. There's 40 million people in California. There's just over 22 million people in Florida. But when you look at the growth between 2019 and 2022, California actually had minus 4% growth in business openings. The number of businesses may fool you, but if you look at the percentages here, this is where that's important. Florida had a 23% growth in new businesses, and Texas, 21% growth. And then he goes on to talk about, you know, how much spending, especially tourism spending, there is in California. Well, yeah, tourism spending in California was $102 billion in 2021. And in Florida, it was $101.9 billion. But if you look at the difference again in the population size between the two states, that's barely a boast. That's the thing that Newsom can always fool everybody with when he rolls out these statistics, is because the size of California is so tremendous that even though we're losing population, we're still by far the most populated state in the country. With that comes, just by default, big economic numbers. California accounts for 11% of the U.S. population, and you've heard this before, we're 30% of the country's homeless. And that has a lot to do with the way we're managing this problem. In fact, I'll probably get to it later. There's a big new study out from UCSF, San Francisco, which is backing the crowd that believes it's all about housing, not anything about drugs, mental illness, and responsibility on the homeless people. But Douglas Murray also points out that California, of course, pretty much leads the nation in people leaving. And that also comes with being the state with the largest population. You know, even if hundreds of thousands of people leave, that'll be a large number compared to other states. Between 2020 and 2022, state lost more than 500,000 people. All right, at the same time, Florida gained 700,000, Texas gained 884,000 people. So people, as they say, are voting with their feet. This is what they're doing. They're making it known by the choices they make and where they're going to live, exactly how this is playing out. But personally, I think someday, if it's not 2024, it could be 2028. It is going to come down to, do you want California, the U.S. to look more like Florida? Do you want the U.S. to look more like California in the way it's governed, the way it's regulated, the entire tax structure, and all of the left, woke, progressive policies of California versus something completely different coming from the state of Florida? All right, coming up next, I'm going to have a special guest on the show. We're going to go up to Ventura County and talk about a murder case where, shockingly, a jury decided for just a manslaughter conviction. And the murderer who did this in 2019 is now free because of the old time served and jail credits that you get in California. He killed Charlie. We're going to talk to the daughter-in-law of one of the murder victims coming up next about this unbelievable, horrible story of misjustice. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Use that app to pick up on the show after 4 o'clock. We'll post up the podcast, John and Ken on Demand. If you cannot listen to all 3 hours live, there is an easy way to access everything we talked about on the show today. That's at KFIAM640.com or use the iHeartRadio app to access John and Ken on Demand. John is off this week. I'm here with Deborah Mark picking up on the news. We'll keep you up to date on that situation off the Atlantic. The people that went to take a look at the Titanic wreck apparently received no communication from them. It's called a submersible, a little tiny submarine type thing that they're in. Five people, and they may or may not even be alive, but they're going to run out of oxygen if they can't be rescued. We'll give you an update on that story coming up later on the show. Right now, we're leaving Los Angeles County for a terrible story of misjustice from the criminal justice system. This time, I mean, when I saw this, I had to look at it twice. A man convicted of stabbing two women to death in a brutal slaying in Ojai Valley was sentenced and freed on the same day. Now, the murders go back to 2019. The killer's name is Sean Shirk, 29 years old, arrested just hours after the bodies of the two women were found. They were Margaret Dahl, 59, and her mother, Phyllis Porter, 82, and they were viciously stabbed to death. And the reason that he got to walk so quickly because they found him guilty of involuntary manslaughter, not the more serious charge of murder. And of course, the pandemic didn't hurt either, so they did this calculation with, quote, time served. So he ends up getting 3.5 years, and he's going to be a free man. We have a chance now to talk to Amanda Dahl. She is Margaret Dahl's daughter-in-law about this, and I imagine she is pretty upset with the outcome. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for having us. We are doing all right.
Yeah, I know these murders occurred 4 years ago, but did you have any idea that it was going to go this way? Did you know if the jury did decide it was a case of involuntary manslaughter, this guy could be freed this quickly?
No, we had no idea. We, even with involuntary manslaughter, we thought that we could at least get a sentence of 5 years per case. Unfortunately, we found out that since it was together, he only got to do the max sentence for the first murder victim and a third of the time for the second murder victim.
Unbelievable. So let's talk about the case in terms of he gets involuntary manslaughter because what? It was argued that he was drunk and unconscious at the time of stabbing these two women?
Yes. So what's very frustrating to us is that the jury said that the prosecution failed to say that he was not unconscious while doing these actions. However, the defendant's side also did not prove that he was that intoxicated at the time. So, I mean, there was no proof either way to him being excessively drunk or not. So for that to be a factor in this is mind-blowing to us. I'm going to reach out to any legislators I can. I'm going to reach out to every talk show I can, every media outlet I can, and I'm going to try to make this case very public. I would like for the laws to be changed because this is not okay.
Now, your mother-in-law was reportedly stabbed about 20 times, and it looked like you also had to chase one of the victims. I mean, this is somebody who's drunk and unconscious. He's chasing somebody around to stab him to death. How does that make sense to a juror?
Right. That's kind of what I kind of called them out on Facebook the other day when I read the article that juror number three had kept putting their input in that it was the law, that they had to follow the law. Well, the law also states that if you are so unconscious, like, I don't know.
Well, what was the proof? I realize the prosecution has to show its case, right? Because one of the jurors is quoted here as saying, well, he didn't prove that he was not unconscious in the legal sense. But, I mean, what case was made that he was unconscious? He was so drunk he was unconscious, but he was able to carry out two murders. That doesn't make any sense to anybody with a brain.
And break through three doors. Now, if I was that drunk and unconscious, per se, how would I even remember what I was doing after I broke through the second door?
And they also Yo, go ahead. Sure.
You know, I would have went through the door and said, oh, wait, why did I just come in here? What am I doing? I mean, that's the sign of an unconscious brain. But one that just continually breaks through door after door chasing someone, that's not unconscious.
Now, we should point out he goes to this house and your mother-in-law is there with her mother, right? And
yes.
This was Now, whose house was this? This was someone she had been seeing, or was it her own house?
This was the murderer's dad's home.
Okay. So there is some emotion attached to this.
Oh, absolutely. He's known her for his whole life, essentially, and he hated her. I mean, he blatantly posted Facebook posts that he did not like his mom, Margaret, and did not like his dad. And he also, they made jokes about it. Him and his brother showed up that morning, saw the glass door busted through with the propane tank, and left the house after receiving over 13 calls from his brother that night and knowing that there were two women in the house. But he left, to say the least, and then decides that he should probably go back. But during that time, he was texting his brothers, and they made a joke about throwing, maybe Sean threw Margaret through the window.
Wow.
And they still thought that this was involuntary.
And there's something else that's argued, that he was suffering PTSD attack or something?
Well, I'm putting train fresh, fresh. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. They brought up this whole PTSD crap.
BS.
Back,
yes, yeah.
They charged, they did a test for him and diagnosed him in early 2023. Okay. Who's to say that post-traumatic stress wasn't from killing Margaret and Phyllis?
That was in 2019. You're right. That makes
years
sense. Right.
Later. Yeah. And for him to say, I have trial coming up in like 4 months. I better get something to help me. And that's what they did. They got him for PTSD, and they blamed it on post-traumatic stress from his childhood.
Yeah, suppose he was abused or something?
It's funny. None of them talked about being abused in that home.
You have my sympathy.
All of them had a great childhood.
If you pursue this further, just let us know. Anytime you want to come on and talk about any developments in the story, Amanda, we'd be glad to talk with you, because this is really one that's hard to believe, this story out of Ventura County. Thanks for talking to me today, and best wishes to you and your family.
Thank you.
All right. That's Amanda Dahl, whose mother-in-law was murdered. Her mother-in-law was Margaret Dahl. She was murdered by a man by the name of Sean Shirk back in 2019. Shirk also killed Margaret's mother, Phyllis Porter, stabbed them to death. Horrific stabbing up in Ojai Valley. It's hard to believe, but a jury has found this man guilty of only involuntary manslaughter, which means, because he's been imprisoned since this happened, that because of time served and all of the good time behavioral credits, he's going to walk very soon. It says here he walked into a sentencing hearing Tuesday with a credit of 2,773 days served, more than 7.5 years. And you ask yourself, this murder only happened barely 4 years ago. Well, that's because of our horrible news when we give people behavioral credits and all the rest of the efforts we make to keep the prisons empty. More coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. It's the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
A reminder, the Moist Line is coming back already in 3 days. So we're collecting messages. Whatever you got to say, put it on the app. The iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number that is there for you and your Moist calls, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Coming up after the news at 2 o'clock, Royal Oaks, ABC's legal analyst, will be our guest to talk about the disappointing case against Hunter Biden. All this time, we'd heard about a grand jury investigating him for tax fraud and gun charges, and the whole thing looks like a walk. Misdemeanor, probably won't serve any prison time, but hopefully there's a bigger case against the Bidens coming one day. We'll talk about this after the news at 2 o'clock. Well, Deborah Mark has a tiny dog. You have two.
I have two. Okay. They're not that tiny.
Well, they look small to me in the pictures.
They're
How many
small.
Pounds do they weigh? Pounds.
About 25, 26.
That's not that small. Well, this is a tiny dog. In fact, this story, this dog, I believe, is 15 years old.
Aww.
His name is Bart, and it's not a good one, Deborah Mark. But this is what happens when we have mentally ill people walking the streets of Los Angeles, and once again we go to Venice. Here's the story from Fox 11.
He's not doing too good. He's hurting, and wait until you see this video, you'll be hurting too. Not only are we talking about a very small dog here, but it is an elderly small dog. No threat to anybody, and still this homeless guy kicks the dog aside like it's a piece of trash. Watch this video, will you?
Oh, don't watch.
Security video shows the attack. The homeless man on the sidewalk. See him walking up to the dog. We freeze it just before he kicks the dog, sending it flying into the metal claws of that Bearcat tractor. Bystanders can't believe what they just saw. The dog's owner rushes in, picking up little Bart.
Well, I just kind of ran. I was screaming, Bart, Bart! And then I saw him lying rigid like this.
Rigid, not moving, she says. A good Samaritan even runs in to help revive the dog.
I don't know if he can fully recover from this. It's amazing that he is alive.
That's left her Bart, a 15-year-old full-bred Yorkie, in the ICU at the VCA Animal Hospital. He is really badly hurt.
He's not walking. He will not stand on either his front or hind legs. One of his eyes looks very not right, and his nose is pushed to the side.
It's just the latest crime in Venice involving the homeless. This one happening just off the world-famous Venice Boardwalk, where dog owners walk their pets right past the homeless, no problems, until this attack. Neighbors feel so bad they're putting up these flyers asking for donations, as little Bart's hospital bills are already in the thousands of dollars. It's a neighborhood all caring for a little dog just out for his afternoon walk when he's attacked.
He's an elderly, extremely petite little fella. And
so you never really had a chance then when somebody kicks him like that.
I really didn't think that he was going to make it. It was a really traumatic experience.
Traumatic experience for everybody. Now live, neighbors so upset about this, they've even set up a GoFundMe page bringing in donations to help with the vet bill for Bart. Have to be honest with you, though, it's still really touch and go for this little Yorkie. As for that homeless guy, LAPD found him. They arrested him. Now we're waiting to see if they'll file any charges against this creep. For now, we're live here on the West Side. Back to both of you we go.
39-year-old Michael Langman is the name of the vagrant. As I've said a million times on this show, it's a numbers game. The more you let the mentally ill walk around like this, the homeless mentally ill, the more you're going to have the chances that people, and in this case, pets, are going to be attacked. Did you bear to look at the picture?
No, I will not. I mean, just listening to that guy explain what happens. No, I don't want to see a 15-year-old little Yorkie kicked high up into the ground. No, I'm so angry. I just can't believe that this happens on our streets.
The first story I saw was sort of what you heard in the news report till he clarified it, that the dog was kicked into the street. But now we understand it went flying into the metal claws of a tractor. Have you seen those devices?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Those are really, really scary looking. And for this tiny dog to end up in there, that can't be a good thing.
No.
And apparently he also smashed a glass bottle over someone that tried to apprehend him for the police to arrive. So this guy was double trouble, but this is still walking the streets of Venice. Yeah, Inside Safe is doing a lot of good, Mayor Bessetti. We got guys like this walking out there and attacking little dogs for no reason at all. Apparently this woman had this puppy since he was a puppy, just a few months old. She's had him for like all 15 years.
And you know, I just pray that my two dogs will live to be at least 15. I mean, you live to be 15 as a dog, and then this is how you're treated, and this could be your demise this way. Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, his whole life he probably didn't have any real problems, but they do have a GoFundMe for Bart's medical bills, and I'm just looking at it here. Wow, $29,000 raised of a $10,000 goal.
Oh, that's amazing.
People are really taken by this story because it's showing up everywhere, along with the pictures of the little dog on a pillow, and he's actually got like an IV on his paw and his leg.
Oh, poor little guy.
His eyes open. Sad. Hopefully he's going to recover. All right, coming up next, we'll take a look at one of the big stories today, the case against Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden. finally announced the charges involving taxes and a gun, but of course the punishment very light. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeart radio app. Deborah Mark in the 24-hour KFI News Center. Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeart radio app.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.